Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
On this theme, I have to just preface my message this morning. My message this morning has a very specific agenda. I don't normally prepare a message that's got an agenda, but I'm just prefacing today that today's message is coming and is backed with an agenda. If you came out today, I know that the Spirit of the Lord prepped you to be here today because you needed to hear this message. I never doubt that. Every single time Gray and I prepare a word, we know that those who are here to listen to it and those who tune in on our online forums are actually supposed to hear this word. Well, this morning, when you're finished hearing this message, you might go, oh my Lord, we should have stayed home and done the food coma. But I'm so glad you're here because today has a very, very specific agenda, and it's something that God has been speaking to me about over this last year when our family had something major happen in this year. And through it, God has been revealing in His Word His plan for humanity through our story. Don't you love how God does that in His Word? That when you step out in obedience to something, He just shows you in His Word that this was His plan all along. You step out in faith, not knowing, but this was His plan. I absolutely love it. Well, 10 months ago, Graham and I and our beautiful children received one of the most greatest gifts on the planet in a beautiful son. And he is somewhere in arms being walked off right there. We received this beautiful gift in our family. Now, for Graham and I, this niggling in our heart or spirit began 17 years ago. I keep saying that. That's not true. It's now 18 years ago because it's been a year since we haven't, or close to. 18 years ago, before we ever had children, when we were married, and we kind of thought this is something we would love to do with our lives. But we were encouraged all the way back then that little ones do really well in established families when we know what we're doing somewhat. And so we waited and we spoke to our children and prepared their hearts. And this last February just gone, we received the most precious little one into our family. It's honestly been one of the most stunning things we've ever done with our lives. I would say very little of it has been hard, and most of it has blessed us more than anything. So my message this morning is unpacking why and how we should be doing this in the Word of God. Because this season, this Christmas season, has an underlying story in it that God has just revealed in His Word to me, and I've just noticed it, not even looking for something to back up our story and our journey, but God's just shown me in His Word what He did for us. And so I'd love to unpack that this morning. Do you know, this week on Tuesday, while you were all probably busy running to shopping centres with way too many people or buying key things to make yesterday perfect, we had hundreds of people here in our facility. Does anybody remember we said we wanted this facility to be used for our community? We had hundreds of people here having their final visits for the year from our beautiful child safety office. So we had all the families here with their children. It was such an honour to have them here on the day celebrating their Christmas, and lots of mayhem, lots of presents, lots of wrapping paper, lots of squealing, lots of, you know, kids' highs and then crashing really fast. It was awesome. It was absolutely stunning. But there was this praise report. One of the workers came to me and she just said, Mel, today I've had such a win, which we call a praise report. And I told her, that's a praise report. I'm using that one on Sunday. But for the last 3 weeks, there's been a 13-year-old in our community who's been missing. You didn't see her on the news, but a beautiful office of diligent workers have been looking for her. And on Tuesday, out of nowhere, she showed up to the Christmas party here. I don't know about you, but that's something worth celebrating. A 13-year-old girl who's been missing for 3 weeks made her own way here. Made her own way to safe refuge, to beautiful people who loved her, who could make a difference. Do you know that she went home absolutely loved on with the gifts that you prepared and stuck under a tree? She went home with arms laden. We had to take her home in a car, laden with hampers that you paid for. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. But a beautiful, precious little one was found. To me, isn't that the prodigal son's story and journey? I thought that was one of the greatest Christmas gifts. Well, today, Boxing Day, if you knew it or not, it was reserved for a very special purpose. Does anybody have any idea of the origin of Boxing Day? Or is it just like this bonus day after Christmas to get over the food and clean up the house, right? There is actually a specific purpose to this holiday called Boxing Day. And the origin of this day was from a time in history when there was a divide in society of the rich and the poor. And it's still in our society today, but just less obvious. There was classes, the rich and the poor. And Boxing Day was a specific day reserved for the poorer in the community to have a day off from serving, have a day off from working. And it was a day in which the rich would box up food and presents, and they would go out into their communities with these boxed up goods and give them to the poor. Wow. That's the origin of Boxing Day. And we've all thought we were just getting a holiday for the last X amount of years. Well, with this in our hearts and our spirits, I want to put a focus or a light on something today in the Christmas story that I believe that is actually the heart of God. James 1:27 says, "True spirituality that is pure in the eyes of our Father God is to make a difference in the lives of the orphans and widows in their troubles, and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values." True spirituality. Is anybody sitting here this morning going, I want my faith to be authentic and pure and true? James 1:27 says that true spirituality that is pure in the eyes of our Father God is to make a difference in the lives of orphans and widows in their troubles, and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. And so this morning, my message is called Say Yes. I told you it had an agenda. Say yes. And so the team is going to come around and give you a little gift of something that I wanted to put in your hands today, like a seed. Maybe this is something you've thought about in your for your life. Maybe it's a little thought that's crept in from time to time, like, I could do that. There is a little gift coming around right now to each and every person. It's three little things, and it's not gold, silver, or gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I didn't have that on hand this morning. But these items actually do represent very powerful things. There are three things in your little gift I'd like to give you today. Great for summer. There is a beautiful lip balm in there. There is a sunscreen, and there is a pen. One is a healing agent, one is a protecting agent, and one is an action which you can do something with. And so I'm giving you each a gift as a seed to think about as we go on in this word. Do you know, I believe as believers and followers of Christ, we are called to do more than have compassion or empathy for our disadvantaged little ones and widows. We are to follow God's example for what He did in response to us being orphans and cut off from Him. Christmas is actually the most beautiful story of a good father going to extravagant lengths in order to adopt those who had been separated from Him, you and I. It is the celebration of God seeing the plight of His people and responding to the greatest gift of love this world has ever known, Himself. Not merely for us, or near to us in theory, God now put on flesh and became one of us in humanity, entering the darkness and the brokenness of our stories and this world to bring us a brighter and better one, knowing Him and loving him. In what we know now as the Christmas story, Scripture consistently speaks of the incarnation, the act of God wrapping himself in the flesh of an infant child in the beautifully vivid and forever altering terms. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:4 writes it like this. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. At a predetermined specific moment throughout all of the course of history, when the fullness of time had come, that passage says, God looked down on the plight of his people and decided right then, at that very instance, he would step out of his glory and enter into the brokenness of our humanity. He would not strut into this world on a throne, but would crawl into it through a manger. Being born in humility, in poverty, and in relative obscurity, so that he might bring fullness to the empty and the belonging to the lonely. So God sent forth his son. The significance of his name, Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, could not be overstated. God is not somewhere. He's not over there. God is not out there. He's not just in the heavens. He has seen us in the plight of our brokenness and has met us exactly where we were. And that's exactly what he is asking of each and every one of us in that previous passage where he says, please do not neglect, please do not look to the side, but would you engage? Would you make a difference in the life of somebody from this same sphere? He is in our story. He has seen us in our plight and our brokenness and met us exactly where we were, placing himself beneath the rule of judgment over us in order to rescue and redeem us out from under it. Born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. God is with us. Nothing will ever be the same. Do you know, God's plan was always to make us his own. The intended outcome of Christmas was really, really clear. For God to bring us into his family. I said yesterday in our services, Pastor Mike put it so beautifully in the Christmas Eve a feature film. I've heard the phrase said for years and years and years, Jesus is the reason for the season. And yet Pastor Mike threw out on our Christmas Eve feature film, if you haven't seen that, make sure you go and watch it. It'll be available on our website or on YouTube. But he threw out that in reality, the reason for the season was you and I. That God came as a rescuer for you and I because we needed him to come. We were God's purpose for this season. Just unbelievable. The intended outcome for Christmas was clear. For God to bring into his family those who had been tragically orphaned from him, you and I, that we might receive adoption is what that scripture says. No longer isolated, no longer orphan, now adopted as dearly loved sons and daughters. At Christmas, we remember the lengths God has gone to call us his own. He's not loved us from a distance, but he has thrust himself fully into the brokenness of our story to bring us securely into his forever family. He interceded on our behalf at just the right time to make us his own. In the gospel, God says, I see you where you are and I'm coming after you. I pray that our hearts and our spirits would echo what he has done for us and say, I see you where you are and I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. Adoption is the echo of the Christmas story. The gospel of our adoption making its vivid debut that night in Bethlehem acts not only as an emphasis behind why, but also as of a model of how we are as those adopted into the forever family of God are called to forever give our families to those who need them. Christmas is ultimately the story of good, stepping into our darkness in order to bring light into it. It, above any and all other motivations, compels us to do the same on behalf of the vulnerable, marginalized, and orphaned in this world. It is impossible for us to truly celebrate Christmas without considering both of its implications for us and its expectations on us. To do for them exactly what God has done for us through Jesus. In the light of the gospel and the story of Christmas, we can no longer remain on the sidelines of the plight of others, but must, at just the right time, meet them where they are by interceding on their behalf. Their brokenness no longer just theirs, but also now ours. An old story forever being rewritten by a new one. A better one, a brighter one, together. Together. On that, I'd love to just talk about some of the excuses that would go through your mind on why. I'm going to use them excuses because we processed these excuses. Do you know, Gray and I, when we chose to take officially our first step into this, were proposed, or a little one in our community came to our attention, and it looked like it would be a quick, urgent decision that needed to be made. And so a specific person approached us and let us know about a little one in our community who may just need us to intercede and meet them right where they're at. And neither of us were willing to even talk to each other for 24 hours. So we were made aware of the situation. We were all in the middle of COVID at the time, in the actual lockdown period. And I, at the time, was doing an activity that I obviously haven't done for a while. I was out running. So I went for a massive run, and I just said to God, Lord, I don't even know how to bring this conversation up with Gray. I don't want to be pushing the agenda of where our family will head. I don't want to be leading this on my own. But I do feel to say yes to whatever this means. And so, God, I'm going to leave it with you. And if this is what we're supposed to do, then I'm going to leave it with you. And I had a peace about just leaving it in his hands. And when I got home, Gray was sitting on the couch with a coffee, not out running. And he was sitting there, and I sat down, and he said, so I've thought of all the reasons why we shouldn't do it, and they all sound selfish even to myself. And so it's a yes. Some of the reasons that we don't step into this are, I hear the same comments over and over and over, number one being, but I'd get too attached. I'm so glad that God didn't think about me like that. Do you know that those who think and have the first response off their lips, but I'd get too attached, are the greatest, greatest foster carers on the planet. That's exactly what our little ones and our families that we walk alongside and journey with require. Do you know, Graham and I received the most beautiful blessing in a little man 10 months ago, but our extended family that we have met this year, some of them sitting in our auditorium today, serving in this house, we've been able to baptize. Some came and visited us in our home yesterday. Others we meet weekly simply because of the journey we've been able to take. Our extended family are a blessing to our world. It is not, we are not rescuers coming in to come alongside a little man. We have extended our hearts, flexible hearts. I'm so glad that God did this for you and I, where his love for us was so great that despite our choices and despite our backgrounds and despite our brokenness and despite what we have chosen, whether we've followed him with our life or we've walked as far away as we can, he chose to come and interject himself into our lives to love us. To love us. Like, I think about this all the time. God sent his son because of his love for you and I. This is the message of what this journey that we have taken is all about. God asked Graham and I to do something so that others would receive his love. Through our acts, through our words, through our action, every part of it. This is the heart of God, that we would not just generously give, but put our hands and our hearts and our lives into families who need a little more support than what maybe your family has required. And so this year, our hearts and our lives and our family has grown larger. The Christmas tree looked ridiculous this year for our added family members that God has gifted us with this year. The other excuse that we obviously and most people would need to process through before making this decision is some of the hardest things to face is what some of our beautiful little vulnerable ones are living in and the circumstances in which they've come from. This is all I can say to this. Gray and I have had a revelation this year that we do not live a better life, we live a graced life. By the grace of God, he has put a hedge of protection around our worlds, around our family's world. And I know many of you sitting here today will have that same experience. By the grace of God, you have been given such a blessed, graced story, not perfect, but graced, for you to be able to come alongside another family. Not just a child, but a family. I love that this word said, not just the orphans, but also the widows. You know, in that passage, he's not specifically talking about the men and women who've lost their partner, but those who need, in desperation, you to come alongside their story and not just be a support at a distance, but come alongside and be family, adoptive family. There was no certainty when God came for you and I that we would choose him. And there's not certainty in this role either. But he came despite it to speak life and love, to be life and love, to interject life and love into our stories. Adoption begins with our willingness to step foot into the darkness, not merely to pull a child out of it, but to bring light into it. This is exactly what Jesus did for us and what we are therefore compelled to do for them. We do not strut into their stories with a cape on our back, but crawl into them with a cross on our shoulders. We are not the rescuers, but the rescued. We are not the heroes, but on every occasion seek to point to him who is. Our hero has come, Emmanuel. God is with us. Nothing will ever be the same for our journeys. And we have the option. We have the ability to make that possible for others on the planet. Do you know that this is not an isolated story in the Word of God, but the Christmas story does really unfold it. Let me just show you a couple of instances in the Word of God of others who have walked this journey. Moses was rescued from harm in that day, raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Esther was orphaned as a young girl, raised by her uncle Mordecai. Joseph, in the lineage of Christ, when you read the gospel story, who read the gospel story, one of them, leading up to Christmas? I'm sure many would have. It always starts with the lineage of Christ. Has anybody picked up that the lineage of Christ was Joseph's lineage? The only person in the story that Jesus was not actually related to. It could have been Mary's lineage. He came from Mary. And yet God chose to put into his word Jesus's lineage as his adoptive father. And ultimately, God adopted us through sending his son Jesus. Do you know, the thing that has stood out to me as I've been preparing this, has been going off in my spirit for about the last 4 or 5 months, is the common reason of what happened in these individuals in the Word of God. When we think of Moses, and we think of Esther, and we think of Jesus, the outcome was the same for the people of the time. Obviously, Jesus did it to a greater extent for all humanity, but the individual who was raised by an adoptive someone was the very individual who was responsible for saving the people at that time. I think about this when we received our little man into my care. I was like, whoa, do I feel the weight of what he will one day do for the kingdom of God? I'm raising a Moses or an Esther because I'm finding in the Word of God that those raised this way have the same outcome in their stories. Would you be willing to open your heart to Moses's and Esther's, who will shape the destiny and the freedom in this nation, in this community, in this time in history? In the end, the echoes of Christmas in adoption beautifully reverberate in forever altering terms, a taking on of one story and a writing of a new, a better one together. Nothing will ever be the same. This is the beautiful underlying story of Christmas. And so, as I said before, this message came with an agenda. I pray it's planted a seed in your spirit today. Do you know that there is no age in which this is too late? There is no circumstances in which this is impossible. God is asking each and every one of us to make a difference in the lives. You know, there was a scripture right at the very beginning that I skipped over, but it's so powerful. In Deuteronomy 15:11, it says, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land that the Lord the God has given you, do not be hard-hearted and tight-fisted towards them. Open your heart. Let's make a difference in these ones in our community. Can I pray for you right now? Father, right now, Lord God, I know that this morning has been a little bit different. I know it's not been a conventional word, but Lord God, I know that it is an intentional word going out as seeds to spirits, ears that needed to hear. Not everybody here will act upon it, but some, it will literally begin to do something in their spirits and begin to be watered from here. Father, I pray that you would remind every single one of us of what you did when you sent your son. You adopted us into your family, making us heirs, sons and daughters of you, God. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our spirits, open our minds to how we can be involved, how we can make a difference, how we can influence, how we can act like you acted towards us, God. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us. Give us clear words, clarity around this, God. God, we surrender our lives to you. We thank you for the blessing and the favor and the provision that you have put on our lives. May we use that to make such a difference in the life of others. In Jesus' name, amen. While every eye is closed and head is bowed right now, just before I finish this morning, I've spoken about why God came. And you might have heard the message of how we can make a difference to those in our community. But do you know, it started with God sending his son for you. He wanted to adopt you as a son or a daughter. into his family. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to know that you do not need to do this alone, that you don't need to carry the burden of what living on this broken planet is like. He doesn't want you to carry the brokenness that your life and its story up till now has actually written. He has a new story to interject into your world, and it's him and his son, Jesus Christ. He came to rescue you. He came to show you how much he loves you. He came to show you the purpose of what he's called you to do on this planet and how you're to make a difference to unmistakably influence this world for good and for God. Do you know, if you're here today and you are not following Jesus, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now today on the last day of the year to step into a relationship with Jesus. He desires it so much. You're sitting here for a reason. It's because he's been knocking on the door of your heart. Whether you're making this decision for the very first time, or maybe you've walked away from God, or you're not feeling as close to what you had once walked with God, and you'd like to come back into relationship, regardless of whether you are, would you make that decision today to come and open the door to him? He's adopted you in as a son or a daughter. Would you open that door of your heart to him this morning? I'd love to extend the opportunity for you to do that right now. And so as I look across the auditorium, all eyes are closed, would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me this morning. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to know God like that. I want to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Thank you. I see that hand. That's an incredible decision.